And away we go. It is Friday, live here on WWGH Radio, May the 28th, 2021, 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. This show can be heard live each and every Friday from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. Also, replays on Sunday morning from 8:10 a.m. till 9 a.m., and then Wednesdays from 3:10 p.m. until 4 p.m. Also, check out the website, WWGH1071.com, and go to the program archive page and search The Pastor Spot. I believe it's the first show under there, and you can go back and listen to shows really, I think, to the beginning of March of 2018. Also, you can download the free TuneIn app. It's free. Any app store carries it. T-U-N-E-I-N, two words. The TuneIn app. Download it free on any mobile device, and you can listen to this station live anywhere in the world. And now we turn it over to the host of our show here on this Memorial Day weekend, Friday, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Scott?
Doing great.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that you can listen anywhere in the world, and you sometimes wonder, who's listening?
Well, you know, we have gotten emails. You know, technology is interesting because you have people can listen anywhere and people can now send a message from anywhere. And we've gotten them from California, people who go snowbirds, who go to Florida, listen to this station because they want to know what's going on in their hometown.
Sure.
So it's a great thing.
Good thing. There is a lot going on in this hometown.
Yeah.
I think that we're very, very blessed to have so many people that want to be active and do good things and have neat things going on. I was talking to someone the other day. Well, actually, I was talking to the guy that owns Sporty's Pizza in Prospect. We were talking last night, and he said that there was a group of firemen from Columbus that wanted to come up and do a car show, and we're going to do some things in September. And I thought, you know, there's so much that we can be doing. Why not have things going on every weekend? You know, you don't have, just because they're going on doesn't mean that you're forced to get involved in them. But it's nice for the community and all those things. People always say, you know, I'm going on vacation this week, but we don't have any money to go anywhere. It doesn't take money to enjoy yourself. That's one thing that I've learned, that Frank's here with us this morning. Frank Robinson. Good morning, Frank.
Oh, good morning, everyone.
And that's one thing I've learned, is that you don't need money to have fun. We're doing do you remember, Scott, the series that was out? Oh, my, it's been at least 10 years ago. The Left Behind series, the movie that Kirk Cameron was doing.
I do.
That was a really neat, very good action movie, but it really told a story, too, of the end times in the world and as things progress. I wouldn't say in the world, but you know, those end times that Scripture talks about. Anyway, we're going to be doing that. We haven't set a date yet. We're going to do three Sunday nights on that. And those are just things, something simple like that, that you can come out to and just sit back. You know, anytime we do movies, we try to have plenty of snacks on hand. And, you know, people just can just sit down and enjoy themselves. And you know what? If you don't like the movie, you can get up and leave, and you didn't spend any money. You have to feel like you have to sit there and watch it. But, you know, we need to be doing those things. Next weekend, the 6th, is that next weekend?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah.
Next weekend, the 5th or 6th around there, is all the Prospect yard sales. And people will just be packing the streets. And I'm sure at the church we'll have some stuff going on outside to minister to people, do different things. And it's kind of an exciting time for us. Gets us out there to do some freebies, some things that people always like. And it's just great to be in a community where that's going on. You know, we have some newer businesses in town. We have Jeff's Bicycle Shop, which I've talked about on the show. Jeff does everything with bikes because he's an avid rider himself. And he and his partner have, they'll not only fix your bike, but they have plenty of used good bikes there, high-end stuff too. And we actually have a new beauty shop that's going to be coming to town. That'll be great. And what else? That, you know, the guy that owns the pizza place now, he's only been there for a couple years, but he's doing some neat new things. And there's just a lot of neat things going on in Prospect right now. The ladies last weekend, went around and did flower beds and cleaned up the park and planted flowers. And my daughter Kelly and Michelle Wasserbeck did that. And it was just, it's just kind of nice to get out and do those things. You know, the park's opened up now. People are free to go in the park and enjoy themselves. And it's a great, it's a lot easier to feel like coming out to church when it's sunny than when it's cold and nasty. And but I will say this, our people have been pretty faithful because they even came out in that pretty nasty weather. But well, another thing we got going on in Prospect, I'll tell those that are in that in Prospect, is the school will not be bringing lunches to Prospect this summer. They will, the other communities, the Elgin School District will. They didn't get a lot of response last summer, so they decided, we've always done it in years past, they decided to let us do it this year. So we're from, is it 11 to 12, Frank, or 11:30 to 12:30?
11 to 12, I believe.
At the church, Monday through Thursday, we'll be doing a free hot lunch at the church, and that's for seniors also, anyone over 60. But it's for school kids, and also we'll be doing on Thursday, we'll be sending a packed lunch home for the weekend. So some neat things going on that way, and just really serving our community, and it's kind of interesting. Scott, you and I got into this discussion a little bit, and I don't remember if it was on air or off air. Excuse me. Something stuck there. I don't remember if it was on air or off air, but we were talking about, you know, the different churches and what we remember as far as service in the community. And sometimes, you know, churches have gotten to the point where they become almost an entertainment venue. And we're used to being entertained, aren't we? Don't we need entertained? You look at video games, you look at TV. We are we like to sit back, vegetate, and let our mind be played with. For lack of a better term. And I think you've seen this. What do you think about that comment?
I think it's interesting because I know somebody, and he and I used to have this discussion all the time. He was not, I'm going to say, a big churchgoer, but he had neighbors who were very devout members of a particular church. So he started going with them to church, and at one point he was going to get baptized in that church because he had never been baptized. And he asked me to come to the baptismal, and I said, well, sure, I'll come. And I said, so what is it you like about that church? You know, what puts you in that denomination? And he said, the choir's good. And I said, oh, okay. But I said, do you believe what they believe? Do you get a message out of? And he says, I need, you know, churches put me to sleep, which is, he needed to be entertained. And that's what it was to him.
But I would have to say, as a Bible-believing pastor, that's not the right response.
I hope not.
But you know, it's kind of true today. It's interesting we're talking about this because I just had this discussion with my friend Tim. Tim's been on the show a few times, Tim Steele. And we had this discussion yesterday about the entertainment aspect. And, you know, when I ask someone, why do you like going to that church, or what are you looking for in a church? And all they can tell me about is the entertainment side of it. And it does sometimes become entertainment. You know, even the practice of worship music and things can become entertainment. I think they're kind of missing the boat a little bit in why they're there. I think in a lot of ways the churches have moved that way. In many ways. But the conversation we had yesterday and what led into that was we were talking about, okay, if you say that, oh, I love this church because it's great for entertainment, and then the church will argue, no, we're not just entertainment, we're this and that. Well, when you go into a church and it's set up like an entertainment venue, I mean exactly like an entertainment venue, they put a huge emphasis on entertainment to hold your attention. But there's an area that I'd like to go with this that I firmly believe. First of all, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And the power of the Word of God should overpower all that other stuff. And if we truly believe that, that's what we should be there for and what we should do. But here's how I can tell kind of the difference sometimes. The Word of God isn't just something that builds us up personally. It's not something that just we grow in for our own edification or in our own life and feeling. But what it's supposed to do is take that and turn it outward. In other words, I have to ask the question, to what extent are you truly doing outreach? To what extent are you feeding the poor? To what extent are you visiting the widows and orphans? To what extent are you caring about what's going on in the community? Or are you just trying to attract everyone to this venue? And yes, giving's a big part of it, because when you're operating a million, multi-million dollar facility and you're paying all these salaries of people and you've got multiple pastors, it takes a lot of money to keep that cranking. What I really loved was during the time of the COVID time and everything winding down a little bit, you know, we didn't have a problem with a lack of people or a lack of giving, but we also realized that if we did run into that, we could maintain the church and everything going on as far as on a physical basis pretty reasonably, and we could ride a storm out for quite a while. But when you have a huge thing that you have, a lot of these churches took an awful lot of the stimulus money because it was offered, because they were considered small business, and we didn't. I know, honestly, the majority of the churches did. I don't think we would have taken it anyway, because I don't think it's the government's responsibility to keep our church doors open. If we truly want to be independent of government and the church, that's just me. But maybe I feel that way because I don't have a mega church and don't need to keep the doors open. But, you know, in my heart, in my calling as a pastor, I truly believe in the local church, and I believe in serving in local communities. And, of course, you bring people in from outside. The community Frank lives over, closer probably to Delaware than us.
Yes.
And, but the point being that we need to be in our community, taking care of our community, working in the community, getting to know people in the community, and loving people in our community. And if you vacate those villages, towns, smaller areas to go to a big conglomerate somewhere where the entertainment's great, you kind of suck all the means and life out of those communities. Because face it, the people that are typically going to leave a smaller town or an area to go to those places are typically people of means. And what I mean by that is they have the means to get there. They have a means to like crowds and entertainment, which means that's something that they like and enjoy. And those people, they leave, okay? Say they leave because, quite frankly, they are sought after by these churches. They're literally sought. You know, when the flyers go out in the community, they're trying to appeal to that group. They're not trying to appeal to the guy stumbling down the street with a hole in his tennis shoe. I mean, so the point being, we look at things in a more holistic approach as the church in the town. We want to reach everyone from that person that is sleeping on somebody's porch to that person that is building the porch. And what happens when you pull those people out of that community, it doesn't leave a lot of means to keep things going. And then you'll see churches start to die because they can't keep the doors open. There's no money to keep the doors open. And then they close down and you see them boarded up. And then you see, you see more of the drugs move in. You see more of and you'll see these beautiful little towns that had three or four very well-attended functioning churches that suddenly are dying, and because of the fact of what's taken place. It's really interesting, Scott. We have within most denominations, I know the one that I grew up in, Frank, you can attest to this too, we had local church associations or organizations. Now, the church that I grew up in Columbus, we were part of an association of churches that, and they're done regionally and area wise, so everyone's within that area. And we had maybe 20 churches in it, something like that. And in those churches, what we did was when there were events that went on, we had a location we'd all go to. Maybe next time it was at another church, we all go to those events. And we felt like we were bigger, even though we were tiny, because we all came together. And what was really neat about it, like once a month, we would go, remember USA Skates? USA Skating in Morse Road? We'd go there, maybe, or a place like that. There was one in Reynoldsburg. And everyone, you'd meet kids from other churches, you'd meet kids. There were a lot of relationships and marriages that came out of those things, which is kind of cool. But everybody felt like they were part of something. But now it's changed, and let me tell you the way in which it's changed. Even though we still have those same associations, usually the events are held in one of these mega churches. And they'll go there, and there's a huge recruiting effort going on at the same time. And I know people will argue with me that it doesn't happen. I know firsthand that it does. Because I've talked to our own people that have been heavily recruited. What are you going here for? You know, hey, we offer this, 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 and this. So then pastors in those local churches, in those smaller churches, are afraid to even take their people there because next Sunday you might have a quarter of them gone because all this flash, bang, and boom they didn't see before. And their kids say, man, that's a really cool place. We got to swing on a jungle gym and inside and you know, do all this stuff that was entertainment. And then people say, well, you know, the kids are kind of happy. Let's go there. And before you know it, that's what happens.
Well, you know, we've gotten away from the old sawdust trails, the old camp meetings. The last association I was part of, we had a summer. And during the summer, we would have our camp meetings. And that's where, as Pastor Steve was saying, smaller churches came about, and you became a conglomerate. And it was so entertaining for the kids because they, it's something they look forward to each year, to meet old friends again. And you became part of the community. And that's what we're lacking in the smaller towns anymore with the churches moving out.
It's true. And then what happens is when you have, you do have a youth group or something in a church and you're trying to reach the kids in town, they come to that and there's only four or five kids, they're like, huh, that wasn't as fun as I thought it would be because there weren't as many kids. And so I think that we're doing a great disservice sometimes in the way we do things. And I would say the proof is in the pudding. And what I mean by that is, you're gonna see more people come. You're going to see more people baptized because of the larger scale. But I think that when you break it down percentage-wise, you're not going to see that so much. And those numbers, let's put it this way. If it costs us $100,000 a year to operate, and I hate to put things down to dollars because I believe that God works outside of the dollar system. but say it costs $100,000 a year for you to operate, and you're wanting to bring people to Christ, you're wanting to see people baptized. That's what you want to do. You want to see them grow, and you want to see them then going out into the community doing what they should. Okay, say maybe you have 15 people a year, 20 people a year that's going to happen with on $100,000. Now you're going to jump up to $1 million a year to operate. How many are you going to have to meet that same average? And are you doing it? And here's... is there the one-on-one mentorship that's going to take place in the smaller church? I'm sorry, there's not. And they're not going to be in Prospect, and they're not going to be in Waldo, and they're not going to be in Richwood, and they're not going to be in the obscure areas of Marion where we know there's very low, low, low income. You're not going to see them there working because they don't. Because those people traditionally... I'm going to get in trouble for this, I know it. But those people traditionally do not bring in money. Now, maybe in the small towns, but in the poorer communities, they don't have it to give, Scott. And I remember the I would say one of the banner days our church ever had was the day the Lord laid it on my heart to never worry about money again. And to pray and ask God to bring anybody in our church, no matter who they were, I don't care if they were all dead broke and stayed that way, bring people that needed the church. Bring people that needed Him. Bring people that needed rescued. Bring people that needed the church as what it's supposed to be. And I didn't care if they had a dime to their name. And you know, from that day forward, and this is great, Frank can attest to this, from that day forward, we have never struggled. We have never struggled financially, and prior to that, we did. Now, you tell me what happened in that. It was the right decision to make, and it's a decision that could have been made all the time. You know, the truth is, when you build the larger churches, the poor and obscure are not comfortable in that environment because they feel like they're being looked at. They feel like they're being judged. You see what I mean? And, I mean, you can argue that's not the case all you want, but I've seen it. I've been there. You know, something the Lord did to me that was really, really kind of cool. I'll tell this story real quick. Shirley and I were on vacation by ourselves on the east coast of Florida years ago. We got a hotel there about Hollywood, right around in there on the beach. And we were spending some time, decided to drive south and go down through Miami and all that. We went through Cape Coral, or Coral Ridge. Coral Ridge, is that Cape Coral?
I think so.
Anyway, we were driving around. We came upon Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. Now, many of you may recognize that. That was the teaching ministry of Pastor D. James Kennedy, who was great, and people loved him. And we said, hey, let's stop and check this place out. It was midweek, and they had a side door. The front door wasn't open, and I walked in. They had an office there. And I said, hey, I watched Dr. Kennedy a lot on television. Could we check it? She said, yeah, just make yourself at home. Walk through the place. So the first thing I notice is I'm walking down through there. They've got all of his messages and those little brochure packets as you're going down through there, which I thought was cool. But I walked into the sanctuary. It's massive, right? The choir's up on the stage practicing. And I walked up and the lady said, I was looking at the pulpit and stuff. And he had this real odd pulpit, if people remember. It was a speaker that kind of looked like an arm going up with a hand over his head that was really kind of odd. And I remember looking at that, and the lady said, hey, she said, go out and check up his father's pulpit if you'd like to. She goes, you want some better lighting? She said, if your wife wants to take pictures, I'll go up and turn. This lady was just unbelievably gracious, you know. So I get up and I walk in the pulpit. It was during the time that he was going through a period of rehab from a heart attack, which he never came back from. He actually passed on. But I got up there, and his Bible, his well-worn pulpit Bible, was even up there. And I remember standing there and looking out and thinking, and this was at the very early part of my ministry. I was still filling pulpit. I didn't have a church yet. And I remember thinking, man, this is really cool. This is really cool. Wouldn't it be neat to preach to this to a people this size? And crowds don't bother me anyway. You know, that stuff doesn't bother me at all. But I'm looking out and I'm thinking, so Shirley takes like four or five pictures. We go through the church taking pictures. Took pictures that whole weekend. And we got home, and she got everything developed. We're going back to the 35-millimeter handheld days, you know, not cell phones. And got the pictures back, and every picture came out perfectly, except the one she took of me in the pulpit. And I thought about that. I said, okay, God, I gotcha. You don't need me to get prideful. You're going to prepare me for something, and it probably isn't going to be that. And boy, was I right. Within a year, we were starting a church around a kitchen table in Prospect with no crowds of people, no income, no anything. And it's been the greatest blessing that's ever happened in my life. And we've done so much outreach and blessing in that area, and relationships built, and the obscure ministered to. If you look through Scripture and you really study Scripture and you watch it, you walk through it, Jesus reached out to the obscure and he used the obscure. You know, his disciples were not wealthy people. They didn't wear the fine robes. They stunk like fish or worse. And those were the people he called on. You know why? I think because it takes those kind of people sometimes to have a humble heart. And I think that sometimes when people get so caught up in themselves and how they look and their pride, it's hard for God to get through to the soul because people let their own pride in themselves get in the way. I've had this discussion before with people. I know traditionally people would wear suits and ties and stuff and come to church. And I think that was out of a lot of respect for God. But I look back at the Bible and I see, you know, like the Apostle Paul, he didn't travel in fine robes. Matter of fact, he was kind of a twisted up little guy. He had some issues physically, and he wasn't the most eloquent in speaking. And I look at so many of these that Jesus chose early on. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. We're going to have lunch today. Little short guy on the top of a tree, tax collector that had put it over on everybody. Of course, in the end, Zacchaeus decided he was going to give everybody it back with interest, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Major interest. Mm-hmm. But the point is, you know, God is trying to tell us through Scripture that he reaches so many of the obscure and those without, because you know where they're at, Scott? They're at a place where they're desiring something. They're maybe at rock bottom, and they need to be at that place where they can say, you know what, I don't have anything left. And the problem sometimes, the passage that says it's easier for a rich man to go through, or a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And people have taken that and used it a lot of ways. First of all, I want to clarify what the eye of the needle was. The eye of the needle was a very small entrance into the wall, into the city. It was not a literal sewing needle. And it was this small entrance that you could turn and go through, but you couldn't ride something through. It was a protection gate, but it was something small that you could squeeze through. And they said it's easier to bring a camel through that than a rich man into the kingdom of God. A camel couldn't quite get himself to go around and through that. But when they're talking about the rich man, it's not talking about because he's rich. It's not talking about being anything wrong with being rich. The problem, what it's trying to say is that the rich man is so self-confident. And the rich man, many times, he doesn't need anything. He's self-made. He does it himself. And the only way that you're going to come to Christ and come to that point of saying, yes, Lord, use me, yes, Lord, is to get rid of all that self-made stuff and come as I'm being broken and say, you know what, Lord, I'm broken. You know, I can't do it on my own. And when we think we can do it, it's hard to come to Christ believing we can do everything on our own, because you're not going to have that surrender, that faith. And so why is it that when we promote churches, we promote people, we're going for the, in these churches, we're going for the attractive, the not only the good looking, but great stature, wonderful clothes. These are not that those guys can't have true faith and aren't real, but I'm saying is, what's that got to do with anything? You know, if someone's candidating for a pastor, I don't care what size the church is, why should they have to look like they came out of a JCPenney catalog? People don't know what that is anymore, do they? Let's just say an Abercrombie ad. Why should they have to look? Why can't it be somebody that their life shows that they're sold out for the Lord and their faith is strong and their passion is there? Who cares what they look like? The world is the one that sets up corporate moguls and people that attract those people to follow them and believe them. That's not what the church is supposed to do. you know, when we quit using all the hymns in churches, we've kind of thrown the baby out with the bathwater. Some of those old timeless hymns are powerful, and we've traded it for repetition. I saw a joke on the on the internet the other day, and it was Hillsong writing their next worship song, and it was a pen. With, you remember those things that, oh, I'm going to really date myself, on the chalkboard in school, when a teacher wanted to make multiple lines, mm-hmm. It held like six pieces of chalk, and she'd go like this. Well, it was like that, but it was pens, and they were writing, and it was line after line after line that was identical, and it said Hillsong writing their next worship music. It's just repetitive stuff that is meant to enhance the mood. Well, my argument is, it is Christ and the Holy Spirit and His Word that should enhance the mood. We shouldn't have to come to outside resources to set the mood for us to be in church. We should desire God is why we're in church. Why do we have to have a mood set? Why do we have to have the whole building painted black? And everything in it, the pulpits, the carpet, the chairs black, so that it could be like a concert venue with all these lights coming in. And for crying out loud, I mean, follow Scripture. Do you see anything? Well, of course, they didn't have those things then. However, when the Word of God was taught and the Word of God was preached, they weren't trying to look like the Greeks.
That's
right. It was truth. It was transparency. It was all those things. And when we try to, I call it smoke and mirrors in many cases, you know, that we try to coerce something out of people. The only coercing that should be going on when it comes to coming to Christ is we're trying to reconnect. We lost service.
Hmm.
Probably the devil, right? Anyway, I was looking at my phone, folks, because I tape this on the pastor's spot. But anyway, I think the only coercion that should be going on should be through the Spirit of God. And so that's kind of how I feel about that. And I wonder why some of the most obscure communities that we have are not attempting to go to these churches because they're not trying to reach them and they feel there's no place for them. You know, Jesus got in trouble with the Pharisees for eating with sinners. And he wasn't eating with sinners to hang out and be just like them. He was eating with those sinners because he loved them and cared about them and wanted them bring them over to the light. And that's what we're called to do, and love people. I tell our congregation many times that I love them, and I think they believe me, but the truth of the matter is when I say that, it's not just words. When I say I love my congregation, it's because I do love them. I think about each and every one of them. I know them well enough to know when something's wrong. I know them well enough to know when they're going through a difficult time. And I care about them, and I truly care about what they're going through. And it's so hard to do that when we turn our church into a corporation. They try to do that through cell groups. But the problem is cell groups are just a bunch of little independent churches, many times, that don't have the oversight that usually they should have, and I can give you good examples of that too. But the point is that don't kill the local church to build a corporation. Don't go in and try and suck the life out of some church because you want to build this giant monument. That's just how do you feel about that, Scott?
Well, it's interesting because you see a lot of that going on, and they do it in interesting ways. They'll start daycares at the churches that other churches don't have. So now young people, which I think is what they want anyway. I think they want the younger people, so they'll be there a long time. Well, they have kids. Well, now they're going to bring them there because they trust the people, because they go to church with them on Sunday, and now they have a daycare. So there's that. And some of them have coffee shops now that the older generation can come during the week and visit and say, get together around a table and do these sort of things. So it's kind of interesting how that all works out. I find that fascinating in a lot of ways. You know what this made me think of? Because you talk about the people not turning away anybody. And some do. Some churches do, unfortunately. A personal story that I heard recently. Two people met. And it was just a social relationship. That's all it was. They would see each other maybe 3-4 times a month as friends. And one person told me continually how much they really liked this other person. Friendly person, enjoyed being around. I really like them. I kept hearing, I really like them. I really like them. Well, then they found out something that person had done, 20 years ago. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Found out, and I knew that they had done it. And this person, all of a sudden, that was a major issue. We don't like that person anymore. Well, you know, where do you draw the line? Is somebody scarred forever? I mean, once you do something, no matter what it is, can we never forget it? I don't get that. To me, if you're still indulging in it, well, I can see the problem with that. But if it's 20 years ago, I mean, the penalty box has got to open some point. Somebody's got to give you a chance.
Sure.
So I don't understand things like that. And it also reminds me, but this same person has an interesting philosophy. Because I remember in the early stages of this radio station, and I think it was nerves. I think they were nervous about the shows they were doing. But they used to say to me, they'd say, you know, I'd say, are you prepared to go on and do your show? Because I knew they were somebody who needed to prepare, at least have some idea about what they were doing. And I'd say, are you prepared to go do that show? And they'd say, I don't need preparation. I don't need preparation. And, well, it shows that you don't prepare because that's why nobody listens to your show. That's why it is what it is, because you don't care. You will find that the most successful people in the public eye care. They care about the people. Why wouldn't you care about your audience, the people in your congregation? Why wouldn't you care about them? You should want to do the best you can for them.
And I don't think that it's a part of, you know, people in a lot of these churches that don't care. I don't mean that. But it seems to be very selective caring. I'll give you an example. Several years ago, a church was supporting us, very, very a small amount because we were a fledgling church. And one of these big churches came along and kind of enveloped that church to take it in and swallow it. And one of the first things they did, look at their finances, was cut finances. The small amount, $250 a month was what they were giving us, cut that out because they said that was unnecessary. We were not important. And believe me, I have this opinion of how I feel long before that. But my point is, who decides who's important? I can tell you who decides who's important. It's God. And God says we're all important. God said he loved everybody. I may not agree with your lifestyle coming into the church, but you're more than welcome to come in. Now, if it's a lifestyle if it's something going on with you that I don't agree with, if I believe that it's nothing God would want, I don't ask you to display it in a huge way in the church. You know, if you're somebody that doesn't feel there's anything wrong with stealing from someone that has more than you, I don't want you to really come into the church and tap people on the shoulder and say, hey, if you know it's good for you, give me a 20. But I do want them to come in because they need God like everyone else needs God. And I don't judge them for who they are. I think God, we leave our judging up to God, but God's very clear through his word, you know, what is right and wrong, and we follow that. But no, that's the whole point. And Scott, you brought that up. I didn't know when you first started where exactly you were going with that or why that popped into your mind. But it's true. We have to reach out to people that are truly, truly, truly in need.
Well, this is what I don't understand, and it's, you know, it's comparable to me. It's not apples and oranges. A few weeks ago, I live in Marion. I've lived in Marion 40 years, and clearly I don't live here because I hate it. I live here because I like it. I could leave anytime, but I'm complaining one day about the parking downtown. You know, it is an issue. It's always been an issue in the one-way streets. And somebody called in and said, boy, you're being negative. You know, radio hosts aren't supposed to be negative. It was something like that. And I got to thinking, well, I'm not sure why radio hosts aren't supposed to be negative. I turn around the dial and I hear a lot of radio hosts being negative. That's how they make their money. But it wasn't, to me, that's not negative. To me, you don't give attention to the television that's working. You give attention to the television that's broken. I don't have to tell you what's working, and I kind of feel that's what we're talking about here, is that you know, 90% of the people who come in on a Sunday morning probably are doing fairly okay with their life. They're not having major disasters that week. But there are a group of people there who have faced imprisonments, hard getting a job, can't get a house, can't get that real issues, divorces. Now, is this, yes, some of those things are the scarlet letter in society. We look at that and go, ooh, keep me 10 feet away from those people. Those are the people who need it the most, not the 90% who are doing okay.
Church is supposed to be a hospital, not a country club.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, remind you of something. The hospital is supposed to help people get well. It's not a place where you come and you wallow in your sickness and say, I'm comfortable here in this church because I can stay sick. Trust me, if you come in sick, we're gonna try to help you get well. So that's the purpose of the church. But it's not a country club. It's not it's not somewhere where we come in. I just think that what happened to the local church and the local community? What happened to the little church on every corner that knew their neighbors, that reached out to people and loved them and trusted them? Why has everything got to be such a show? Why has everything got to be such entertainment, such big and such, you know, jumbotrons and huge music and offering people earplugs at the door because it might get a little loud for you? That isn't the church, Scott. I truly don't believe it is.
Well, and I'm not sure where, honestly, judgment is judgment. Now, to me, what we're doing here this morning in regard to these churches, it's a critique. Now, that's different than judgment. And I believe in critiques. But where we're getting into with these people, that's a flat-out judgment that people make, the injured people who have been. I mean, you've talked about the gentleman you know who did time in prison and has had troubles because of it. Now, you know, okay.
But Manny's great.
Exactly.
And you know that guy today, and I'm proud to call Josh my friend, he's rough on the edges. But of course he would be, right? But let me tell you something. If you need something, call Josh. He's going to be there in a heartbeat.
But you see that, and that's the point that people. But they can't get over that hump. I mean, even the churches that do let people in, the problem is the second they walk out,
lock up their valuables.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you know, they do stuff to try to look like the world, to try to look like we accept everyone. I mean, but between dress and attitude and things they do. But the truth of the matter is, are you really accepting everyone? You know, the local church, man, we're running out of time.
Yeah, about two and a half.
Can we have another hour?
I know.
What I'm saying is, you know, the local church used to be our welfare system. Do you realize that? We didn't have a welfare system in this country. The local church was on every corner in every neighborhood, and they took care of the needs of the people in that community. They helped them, they mentored them, they fed them, they did all those things. As the church gradually grew and became, now we got one church for every 10 blocks, one church for every 30, we suddenly run into a situation where churches aren't meeting the local needs of the people in the community. You know, the people down the street that, oh man, what a mess, you know, dad's an alcoholic, you know, mom's beat after the kids are filthy, they don't have shoes, you know, those people have been left to the government to take care of, and that was never the job. God called on us to do it, not the government. And and you can't tell me, you can argue all day long, you cannot tell me these large mega places are not reaching those people because they can't even relate to them.
Do they even know them?
No.
I look at,
They always plant their churches in affluent areas.
Well, there's one on Sunday morning, I don't even know how he knows everybody in that stadium. How would you even shake hands with it? I mean, let alone know who they are.
Hey, look, I love the church, and I don't mean to condemn anybody in any form of ministry, but we've got to get back to the local church. If this country is going to remain whole and we're going to save the American family, we got to love all families. Pastor Steve, out.
There we go. And I do want to remind everybody in the 50 seconds we have left that this show will repeat on Sunday morning, 8:10 till 9 a.m., and next Wednesday from 3:10 until 4 p.m. And don't forget, you can go online anytime at your leisure, WWGH1071.com, and go to the program archive page, and you will see the pastor spot. First one there, and you can go back to March of 2018. And again, the TuneIn app is absolutely free. If you happen happen to be outside the listening area, or you just don't have a radio anymore, download the TuneIn app free on any mobile device. That's tablet, cell phone, whatever the device may be, and you can listen to this station free over the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's a wrap for this Friday. We'll be back in about 10 minutes with more programming.
God bless.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. To legendary attorney and representative of clients such as O.J.